I would venture to say that there's probably not anyone here this evening that does not believe in God. Because if you did not believe in God, you wouldn't be here. We read in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." And then in Psalms 46 and verse 10, we read, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Most of us probably know that God's people have always faced skepticism, ridicule, and so on. But today we are facing an aggressive form of atheism. God has been banned from just about every government building. God has been banned from most schools. God has been banned from being displayed in any form or fashion outside of these four walls. God's been banned from schools. Sadly, in a lot of the religions of the world, God is even banned there. Faith in God is not an illogical, irrational leap in the dark, because it is based upon evidence. We find in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And many simply do not comprehend this verse. How can you believe in something that you've never seen? How can you believe in someone that's never personally spoke to you? How many of you here believe that Abraham Lincoln was a real person? But have you ever seen him? Have you ever heard him talk? What about George Washington? This evening I want to briefly examine some evidences for the existence of God. And I promise I'm not going to speak as long this evening as I did this morning. But first up, let's look at the arguments from design. You know, every design must have a designer. You know, this building just didn't pop up out of the ground. There had to be a set of plans. There had to be excavation. There had to be those that were willing to put in the hard work to lay the foundation, to put the walls up, the roof on, and do all the stuff on the inside. A few years ago, we painted the building inside and out. We just didn't wake up one day. Oh, look. The color of the building's changed. No, it took hard work. There's a man by the name of William Paley. He wrote a book back in 1802. How many have you heard of the watch and the watchmaker? This is the man that penned that. Or, basically, what he was saying is that a design implies a designer. You can't have a watch without someone designing that watch. Look at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4. "For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God." Everyone understands that, don't we? But yet there are those in the world today who simply believe that things just all of a sudden exploded, and after millions and millions of years, here we are. But the writer in Hebrews said, for every house is builded by some man. It don't just pop up out of the ground. But he that built all things is God. It just didn't happen. Then we see over in Romans chapter 1 and verses 20 through 22, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Can you see them? You can't see the air, but you know it's there. You cannot see the gravitational force that keeps this world in balance and protects us from solar winds. But we know they're there. And God put them there. God makes the rain. We know that rain comes from clouds. We know that clouds come because of a difference in temperature. I'm not a meteorologist. But isn't it a miracle that we have rain? We see the sun, but yet we can't touch it. We see the moon, and even though men have walked on the moon, let there be some that will say, no, they didn't. You can't reach up and touch it, but we can see it. The things, invisible things, can clearly be seen. From the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that ye are without excuse. All right? Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You know, we're basically told to call no man a fool. But you know what? There are a lot of men who do a lot of foolish things and bring about a lot of foolish talk that try to change the things that God made into evolution. Notice again, if you will, Psalms 19 and verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The invisible things can be made known and are made known by the things that we see. Notice, if you will, Acts 14 and verse 17. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Job chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. Ask now the beast, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee, or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought them? Now, I don't know about you. You know, I don't speak bird language, but I know God created them. I like to fish, but you know, I've never learned how to speak fish, but I know God created them. I read a thing on social media, and some of you might have seen it on Facebook. I'm not sure. I'm not going to quote the whole thing because I simply don't remember all of it. But the idea is this. When God made trees, grass, flowers, where did He put them? On the earth, in the dirt. What happens if you take a flower and pull it up out of the earth? It dies. Same thing with a tree. If you pull it up, take it out of the earth, it dies. Why? Because God designed the grass, the flowers, the weeds, the trees, that their life is in the earth. When God created the fish of the sea, even the fish in fresh water, where did He put them? He put them in the sea, put them in the water. They were made to live in that environment. And what would happen if you take them out? Johnny loves to fish. What happens, Johnny, when you take a fish out of water? It dies. It dies. Because it's taken out of what God has made for it to live in. God said, let us make man in our image. So in the image of God made He them male and female. If God created the plant life to live in the earth, and if that plant life is taken out of the earth, it dies. God made fish to live in water, in the sea, and in fresh water. If those fish are taken out of that environment, taken out of what God created for them to live in, they die. God spoke to the earth to produce the grass, the trees, and flowers. He spoke to the water to bring about the creatures of the sea. But when He created man, He spoke to Himself. Let us create man in our image. So what happens to man if he's taken out of God? He dies. Perhaps not physically, but spiritually, he dies. There's a moral argument of the existence of God. Human beings are created with a sense of morality or moral rightness. You know, morals are either the product of God and thus objective, which means dealing with facts without distortion, or it is the product of man and thus subjective, meaning reality as perceived rather than the true reality. And it's sad to say that many today are living in a make-believe reality. When you see people running around and saying that they, you know, I was born a male, but I think I'm a female, so I'm going to be a female. Or the same vice versa, a female claiming that, you know, yeah, I was born female, but, you know, that was a mistake. God made a mistake, so I'm going to be a male. Living in a fantasy world because it is a product of man's subjective look at reality. It's what I see as being reality. It makes no difference if it's real or not. You know, most of us here are not old enough to have participated in World War II. Now, there might be some of you that were around when it began and when it ended, but we wasn't there. And because we weren't there, the perceived reality of many simply claimed that the Holocaust never happened. Even though there are those that are still alive, but they are very old, that lived through it. Oh, that's just a fantasy that they have. There are those who have forsaken reason and rationality. Atheists often chide believers as being uneducated and unscientific, but I want us to consider three things. Most of you probably have no clue what the law of biogenesis is. I didn't either. I had to look it up. Literally what it means, it is the development of life from pre-existing life. Do you know that man has created an artificial corn? This has been some years ago. The only problem with that corn, it cannot reproduce. But if you take a true kernel of corn, you can put it in the ground and you water it and you care for it, it brings up a corn stalk, doesn't it? If you don't believe me, if you feed birds, you ever seen little corn stalks pop up? Or little flowers pop up? Because there's life in the seed. The law of biogenetics. Then you have the law of embryology. Simply biology dealing with embryos and their development. I don't know of anyone who can watch an embryo develop and say there is no God. I don't know of anyone that can watch an embryo go from the smallest thing in a human body to produce a child. It cannot be done outside of the human body. Oh, yes. Yeah, come on, John. Yep. Haven't you heard of test tube babies? Well, yes. But it took a male and a female to produce that. Then you have paleontology, the study of life through fossil remains. You know, paleontology is a large study. You have people who study bones, and they can tell you that this dinosaur lived 100 million years ago. Well, how do they know that? They're guessing. But through the study of paleontology, they can study the life of that animal. Friends, there is sufficient evidence to believe in the claim of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's all that needs to be said. If you believe in God, then you believe in that God in the beginning created the heavens and the earth. But some people's minds are simply closed, and they refuse to open in any way. There is a man that lived from 1916 to 2004 named Francis Crick. He was a molecular biologist. He preferred scientific search for the answers of man's existence. Did you understand what I said? Looking scientifically to see how man existed and how man began. And I tell you, it's not in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. It's the universe, something exploded, and here we are. He preferred scientific research to answer the meaning of man's existence and how man got here, rather than religious answers or beliefs that can be found within the pages of our Bibles. Men are still obsessed with trying to prove that man descended from apes. They're still trying to do that. They are still trying to find that missing link to prove that man evolved from apes. Now, if that's the case, why isn't that happening today? Well, and their answer is, well, man and the apes have split and they're no longer doing that. Well, that gets them out of a little bit of hot water, but it doesn't cure the case. Atheism is a tragic philosophy to live by and a disastrous philosophy to die by. And I would advise everyone to inform yourself and do as the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 5 and verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain or empty words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And as I stated before I began, I do not believe that there is one person here that does not believe in God, because you're here. This evening, if you are here and in need of prayer, for whatever the reason, would you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?